Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Empowering Family Caregivers on Blog Talk Radio. I am Susan Bida, your host and co-founder of eCareDiary.com, a leading online community for family caregivers managing the diverse aspects of elder care. We are a centralized resource providing the targeted content and unique online tools that caregivers need to manage care. Thank you for tuning in today. I'd like to remind everyone that you can listen to any of our past shows on www.ecarediary.com by clicking our blog tab. We encourage you to register for our free newsletter to learn about our upcoming shows where we interview a very broad range of medical, healthcare, and elder care experts covering topics from caregiver stress to long-term care, financing, and end-of-life preparation. I am very pleased today to introduce Deborah Drelick. We call her Debbie. Debbie is a licensed social worker and geriatric care manager. She is the founder of New York Elder Care Consultants, which is a geriatric care management and consultation firm that provides assessment, care planning, and implementation, and ongoing monitoring of the elderly. She also serves as the president of the Greater New York Chapter of the National Association of Professional Geriatric Care Managers, and she was recently elected to join the board of directors of the National Association for Professional Geriatric Care Managers. This organization is a 2,000-plus national membership organization. I will also mention that Debbie is also part of the management team of a telehealth and wellness program called My Own Care. This is a company whose goal is to enable people who have chronic illnesses and their loved ones to take charge of their healthcare future. So she serves as the Chief of Strategic Partnerships for My Own Care and brings her 25-plus years of experience to both her care management practice and to My Own Care. Debbie, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. It's a wonderful opportunity to be able to speak with caregivers who just are dealing with so much on so many fronts. It's, you know, I'm just happy to be able, if I can even offer just a little bit of good advice to them, it's a great opportunity. So thank you, Susan.
Well, thank you. Debbie, you know, you are our very first geriatric care manager on the show. And I will say that when John and I were caring for my father-in-law, we were so busy. And actually, it wasn't until we started working on eCare Diary that we actually learned about this incredible field of geriatric care management. I've learned how vital and helpful a geriatric care manager can be to families who are caring for their elderly. Can you tell us, what is a geriatric care manager?
Well, a geriatric care manager is a professional who has generally advanced training in social work, nursing, gerontology, psychology, with a very specialized focus on the needs of the elderly and disabled and their caregivers. They are knowledgeable about really a smorgasbord of services, from getting services, knowing about the medical needs of the older person or chronically ill person, because that's really so important, to helping put services in place and talking, you know, knowing about financing it, because that's something maybe we'll get into a little bit later, a very tough issue for family members is, you know, how to pay for these, unfortunately, at times very expensive services. But care managers, or GCMs as we call them, geriatric care managers, generally in many ways are a concierge. We can help with all sorts of needs to help the family get through sometimes day by day, whether they're nearby or far away. And many of the folks that we work with, I know in my practice, for example, many of the clients I work with, their family members, whether it's children, nieces or nephews, at the closest live perhaps on the West Coast. I have a few clients whose family members live in Europe. So they're not here. And they really are, you know, they're very involved. They call, they you know, they visit as often as they can, but it's, you know, certainly not on a weekly basis or a monthly basis to really be able to follow and monitor the care and also to see how the person's needs change.
So it's very beneficial to long-distance family members who are caring for a loved one. But I have to say, in general, I think it's the field of elder care is so complicated to your average layperson that I couldn't see why, you know, all families actually could use a geriatric care manager. Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. Many of the folks that I've worked with, their family members are highly intelligent, very successful professionals in their own fields, some of which are even physicians, mm-hmm. you know, working even in geriatrics. I have one client, you know, whose relative is a physician. But her thought is that there are specialties and things that I do, and there are, I'd like to come and be able to visit with my mother and not have to worry about some of the nitty-gritty details that you do. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be involved, you know, worrying about, is the staff showing up? I don't want to worry about, are the doctor's appointments being made? I don't want to worry about, you know, do we have enough of a stock of Depends in the house? Do we have, you know, have all the medications arrived that need to arrive? So in many ways, people want to be able to not have to deal with certain aspects of caring. And, you know, and as you said, you know, really they just don't know. There's so much out there in terms of government entitlements, and the rules change from, you know, day to day and week to week and certainly year to year. So it's a nice, people tell me it's nice to be able to have one place that you could go of someone who can not only understand what their loved one's needs are, but be able to, you know, bring the plan and help implement the plan.
Right. I guess you've discussed, you know, why. What are those instances in which a geriatric care manager, you know, where a family would bring in a geriatric care manager? So one is if, you know, they really need assistance with the daily details of caregiving and elder care, and then also long distance caregiving. What are some other instances that you've seen where a family has brought you or another geriatric care manager into the picture?
I would say a typical kind of call that I receive would go something like this. Mom lives in Manhattan, and she recently fell. She's in the hospital. The hospital's talking about discharging her. She has, until now, had no home care, has not wanted to accept any kind of home care. I have no idea what to do. They want to discharge her tomorrow. What do I do? That would be a typical kind of call. Occasionally, I will get a call from someone who will say, oh, you know, I was visiting, it was Christmas time, I was visiting New York from Chicago, and I hadn't seen Mom, you know, since Easter, and I've noticed that, for example, it looks like she's losing weight. Her clothing didn't look as neat and clean as it used to. I don't know if something's going on, and I have to leave tomorrow. What can I do? How can you help me? Those are the typical kinds of outreach calls that that come in. You know, and unfortunately, they're often very much crisis. You know, crisis-based, you know, overnight person situation has changed. We need to figure it out. We don't have a clue. Can you help us?
And so what, in an instance, I guess in instances like those, and I would imagine, as you say, they're the vast majority of cases?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say definitely they are the vast majority of cases. And very often it involves really having to be available, you know, when the families need you. And that does not always mean that that's from 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Emergencies happen generally after 5 o'clock. sometimes families, when they come in following an emergency may come in over a weekend. I've had people call me on a Friday and say, listen, I'm leaving for California on, you know, on Sunday at 2 o'clock. I desperately would like to meet with you and my mother. She's in rehab. You know, can you make yourself available? So we'll juggle and try and make ourselves available so that we can really be there when they need us. It's just not predictable. But as I said, sometimes people really do, you know, see a change, you know, in their loved one, whether they live close or far away, and want to anticipate. I worked with a client not that long ago who was referred to me. She saw her own, you know, on her own, she saw that she was growing a little bit frailer, and she wanted to gather information. And she said to me, listen, I don't need to meet with you today. I don't need to meet with you tomorrow. But, you know, I've had some falls in the past, and I want to feel that I have a resource so that when some emergency happens, you know, I can hand this over to my family member who lives in California. And literally 7 months later, I received a call from her daughter who reminded me of who she was and that I had spoken to her mother 7 months before. And her mother at that point had fallen, fractured a hip and fractured a wrist. And she said, I'm not here, and I need to know there's someone on the ground who could, you know, advocate with the hospital, advocate with the nursing home where she's having subacute rehab, and help bring her home and get the care that she needs. And that's literally how it happens very often.
That's incredible, actually. So you're not only managing some of the complex details, but you're also an advocate for the on behalf of that person. And I think that's a big piece of especially the medical issues and dealing with hospitals and rehab.
Insurance companies is another big one.
Yes.
Advocating to make sure that people, for example, get their, you know, the amount of hours of, you know, Medicare home care hours if they're entitled following, you know, a rehab stay. Fighting with long-term care insurance to be able to make sure that the person can access their benefit when they need it. And making sure people get the care that they need, you know, even when they're in a hospital. Because it's people sit in emergency rooms for hours on end, and it's very hard when you're there alone if you're, you know, an elderly, frail person.
Absolutely. We've been there. So, Debbie, it sounds like you've obviously worked with so many different families, and also in your experience, you've worked with in senior for senior care providers, so you understand the nature of you know how nursing homes and assisted living facilities operate. So you've dealt with many different families in many different situations. What would you say would be a very common issue that families face?
I think one of the, I would narrow it down to maybe two common issues that families face. One is what happens when mom or dad or aunt Tess is resistant to accepting help. That's really a very big one. You know, children come in, they may be getting phone calls from neighbors, you know, saying, you know, mom, you know, mom is looking very disheveled, she was very put together, or, you know, she's falling but picking herself up, we're very worried about her, and, you know, daughter speaks to mom, and mom is like, oh, I'm fine, those are busybodies, and I don't want help, I don't want any strangers in my house. That's a major, major issue, and unfortunately, once one starts to need help, It's generally of a more chronic nature. It's ongoing. It's not, you know, sometimes it is following an acute episode, let's say like a hip fracture, but sometimes it's just, well, you know what, mom is 95 years old now and she did it on her own until now, but she's not going to recoup to be able to do it all herself. And how do we get her to agree to accept initially maybe a little bit of help, then increase the amount of help and have her accept that, you know, she was a homemaker in many cases, especially, you know, the elderly generation. Many of the women did not work outside of their homes and pride themselves in that. And now you have someone perhaps coming in who, you know, they may feel is going to try and take over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one major issue. And I would say the other major issue that I have worked with families on is how do you pay for it? Care is extremely expensive. And, you know, I can speak mostly about the cost of care in the New York area.
Yeah.
It's, you know, slightly different in other parts of the country. But it's very expensive. You know, care in a fine nursing home, for example, mm-hmm. could cost anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 and up a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, if one were to pay privately. Home care, you know, again, could range anywhere maybe at the lowest end from $10 an hour, you know, up to $25 an hour. And the average, I'd say, middle-class person may not, they may have saved some money in their lifetime, but they may not have saved enough, especially to maintain care over the course of maybe a 10-year illness. And that's really a tough piece is to work with families and in many cases have to have them work towards getting assistance from the government, you know, a Medicaid program and having the older person agree to accept that if they're able to, you know, voice an opinion on that. So those are really the two tough issues.
So essentially the elder being cared for accepting help and number two, financing the care. So that's where I would say, I mean, you know, geriatric care managers can be very, very helpful in those areas. Where does one find a geriatric care manager?
Okay, that's a great question. There's two wonderful resources that I would suggest. The first is that many care managers, myself included, are part of, as you mentioned, the National Association of Professional Geriatric Care Managers, and we have about 2,000 members. And the website is caremanager.org, and on there one can enter a zip code or enter a town, and you can search by name for people who are within a radius, a nearby radius of where the person who needs help is. Locally in the New York area, we have our chapter website, which is nygcm.org, and either of those two will provide information on how to find a care manager.
Terrific. And so now we know where to find one. Tell us a little bit about how much it costs to hire a geriatric care manager.
Okay. Hiring a care manager is not necessarily a cheap proposition. You know, hourly fees can range anywhere from $100 to $200 an hour. Other parts of the country, it may be a little bit less. In many cases, I've had families, let's say, that were of more modest means, for example, where there might have been a couple of the kids that chipped in because they really wanted to have a thorough care plan. They wanted me to come in, do an assessment, come up with a plan that they would be able to then take to the next level themselves, whether it involved Medicaid planning or, you know, just care planning.
Right. And so how many hours, for example, would that, you know, that initial step take?
That initial step could take, you know, again, I've had people just ask me to come in and do an assessment, which could be mm-hmm. like 2 hours, you know, and write up the care plan. Or write up the care plan, help them implement it, and then the family will take over.
Okay.
In some cases, you know, as I've mentioned, the families are either at a distance or are totally overwhelmed by the process. So they may, you know, there are folks that have, you know, used care manager services on a weekly basis, some that use it, you know, as I said, to kind of get things started and in place, and then when the speed bumps come along and the crises, you know, they'll call again. I've had some clients like that where I'll see them maybe just a few times a year.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, unfortunately, if there's a decline or a change in functioning, and then the families are like, help, we need you again. Please come on out.
So
there are some long-term care insurance policies now that are starting to cover and reimburse the clients for geriatric care management. So if one has that, check into your policy.
Great. Long-term care insurance, right?
Yes.
Right,
private long-term care insurance. And, you know, of course, we're always hoping that that the government, you know, through the Medicare program, will really recognize the value and potential financial savings of having this coordination, you know, whether it's to keep people out of a hospital or, you know, to keep them at home, which is, you know, certainly cheaper than moving someone into, you know, a nursing home.
Well, John and I are definitely the first in line to advocate on behalf of the work that geriatric care managers do, because it is true, if you don't know what you're doing and you don't have the experience in this field, you could make some very expensive mistakes as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where, you know, GCMs really offer tremendous value. And you know, there are families out there who may not be able to afford, you know, a GCM to be there on a daily or, you know, weekly basis. Just to even bring you in at the beginning, as you were saying, with an assessment and a plan, could be tremendously helpful.
Yes. So, I encourage people to, you know, to look for a care manager if you're really feeling overwhelmed, if you're not sure of resources. In many cases, I've even had over the years some family members who the client themselves was resistant to accepting care, and the family member, I have a woman actually recently who, this woman is, her mother lives a few blocks away from where my office is, but the woman herself lives in Canada, and she said, I want to hire you. Mom won't let you come in, but I need to run things by you. I need to have your support to know that at least I'm kind of on track if there's an emergency. So that's another type of person that might want to use a care manager as well.
Right. So you're like a consultant.
Yes, to the family. Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about financing in a little bit more detail. You talk about, you know, if the client has a difficult time paying for some of the services, what would the care manager recommend in that instance?
Unfortunately, in many cases, the sort of the help of last resort, as I mentioned, is the Medicaid program, which
mm-hmm.
was established to be a poverty-based program
mm-hmm.
To help people get the care that they need. Other countries, as you know, that have national, you know, health care insurance, do provide for some care for older people who are chronically ill.
Right.
The Medicare program does provide some home care, but again, it's only following an acute episode, you know,
right.
as I said, whether it's a hip fracture where a person has been in a subacute, you know, care facility, a heart attack, a hospitalization.
Right.
But it can't be counted on an ongoing basis to provide the kind of chronic care that many older people need. Forget about if someone has Alzheimer's or other dementia where they may not have any skilled nursing needs, so they will be entitled to nothing from the government at the same time that their needs are going to only increase, unfortunately.
Right. So, my goodness, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that's, I think, one of the biggest challenges for many families who whose loved ones are afflicted with dementia or Alzheimer's.
Yes.
So let me kind of go on to the next question. I have so many questions for you, Debbie. I could keep you on here for an hour. A geriatric care manager becomes very closely involved with the person being cared for and their family. They
yeah.
have access to a lot of personal and very private information. How does a family go about identifying the right GCM, geriatric care manager?
That's a great question. I think that just as, for example, if one were to want to hire someone to be your family's attorney or your physician, you want to make sure that there's a certain chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, I think that a person who's interested in hiring a care manager should call the care manager, possibly meet with them, to kind of get a sense, is this someone that I feel comfortable with? Is this the kind of personality that, you know, dad will mesh with? You know, will they be, you know, rejected? Are they too strong a personality? Are they too soft a personality? And I could tell you from my own experience, there have been cases where I've had clients of mine who, maybe the client really needed someone who was, you know, going to take them maybe in a different direction and get the parent in a, you know, in a different way, and they worked better with another care manager. And I've had cases that I've picked up where I've meshed better with the client and the family member, because I very much look at it as a partnership, and I always, when I go in, tell the family that I'm really here to be your partner. I'm not here to dictate to you. I'm here to give you information, but this is your mom. This is, you know, this is the person you've known for the past 50, 60 years, and you know, I'm really here to work with you in any way I can to be helpful, to keep them safe and improve their quality of life.
Great. So it's really kind of like doing an interview process almost, where and seeing if there's chemistry, and should they be checking references at all?
I would recommend that, and I've actually encouraged sometimes when I've had calls, you know, people like, well, you know, you've been in the business a long time, and, you know, could we speak to someone? And, you know, I will, with the permission of, you know, of other clients, prior clients or current clients, you know, give them that resource, and it does give them some peace of mind knowing, oh, yeah, she worked with your mom. Your mom was a tough cookie. Wow, my mom is a tough cookie too. And she was really able to get through, you know, mom's toughness. Wow, that's great. So definitely people, you know, can request an in-person interview. Some care managers do it, some don't. We all generally spend a little time answering questions on the phone initially. And you know, I think references are great. You know, you would be surprised if you start to ask around amongst your friends and peers, because, you know, for those of us that are of the age that our parents are growing older, your friends and peers may have dealt with the care manager, and that's a great place to start.
Yes, yes. Great. Debbie, you know, we have a few minutes left, and I want also the opportunity to ask you about New York Elder Care Consultants, and can you tell our audience where they can learn more?
Oh, certainly, with pleasure. I have a website, which is www.nyelderconsultants.com. And I try and offer some helpful information on there for caregivers, for people who want to learn more about what care management is, people who want to learn a little more about what Debbie Drelich is, and to have it be a resource. I started my practice on a very part-time basis many years ago, and found that as time went on, I enjoyed very much working as a solo practitioner as part of a large organization, the Care Managers Association, where I could kind of be in practice sort of with my own philosophy of what works for families. And it's been a very exciting process. I've done this full-time for the past 2 years, and I've worked with many people. I mean, unfortunately, some of our clients are around for a lot of years, and in some cases, they're people that we've sort of helped through their journey at the end of their life for a much shorter period of time. But it's really been a blessing. I've met amazing people, from the older people to their family members to an amazing group of caregivers, the professional caregivers, the paid caregivers, truly, you know, wonderful group of people who at times work for very low pay, very thankless, very difficult kind of work, but really are the salt of the earth.
Is your practice focused on the New York area? Does it stretch beyond, or are you pretty much the New York area?
Unfortunately, I am in the New York area. You want to, when hiring a care manager, you want to find someone that's going to be available in a close distance so that for example, if I get a phone call in the middle of the night that one of my clients has fallen and is going to the ER, I wouldn't want to have to drive, you know, an hour and a half to go to that ER.
Right.
That's really important to have someone that's generally within maybe a half-hour radius of where the person is.
Okay. Good to know that. And
yeah.
Now let's tell us about My Own Care, because this is an exciting venture, and I actually have just started testing it, but why don't you tell our audience about My Own Care, and I'll share a little bit of my wonderful experience.
Oh, good. Well, My Own Care is a startup company. It's a telehealth and telewellness program that started about a year ago. Our goal of it was that we would enable people to take charge of their own sort of medical future as much as possible. In many cases, the largest amount of dollars that are being spent on medical care are really for ongoing chronic need. For example, people who have congestive heart failure, people who are diabetics. Unfortunately, they're asthmatics, constantly, you know, in a situation where they have to go to a hospital. When you go to a hospital ER, it becomes very disruptive to the person. If it's a young person, they may miss out on days and hours of work. If it's an older person, their family member may miss out on days and hours of work. There's the tremendous stress that's involved with being in a hospital. There are also ailments you pick up in hospitals. I can't tell you how many people I've met over the years who have picked up MRSA infections and C. diff infections just from being in the hospital for something totally unrelated. And My Own Care has as a goal to keep people at home where they could monitor whether it's their weight or blood pressure or sugar, get alerts if their condition changes, or in the instance of, let's say, an older person where someone else can check. So let's say, for example, my own mom is a part of, we're doing a pilot now,
mm-hmm.
and so I can check up on her and see what her blood pressure is like. And if things would go a little bit out of whack, I would be able to, you know, I would get an alert that might say to me, you know, you should look into, you know, you need to follow up and see something is going on. Your mom is out of range. Or let's say a diabetic, for example, if their numbers when monitoring every day go out of range. But the second nice part of My Own Care is that it's not just about giving people their numbers, but offering really support. We have an ongoing program where we have coaches who will help someone, for example, who's a diabetic, to maybe, you know, help figure out, well, you know, gee, your stress level is really high. You know, there's an impact between your blood pressure or your sugar levels and the stress that you're dealing with right now. So that's kind of what My Own Care is about, and we're finding that we're getting reports that it's less stressful, you know, for family members, let's say, who are at a distance, that they know that they can check up on mom and dad easily to see what's going on with the system. We even have, for example, a college student who's in our program who's a diabetic. Family worries tremendously. I have three kids who are in college, actually out of the country, and I worry tremendously. What time do they go to sleep? Do they eat properly? I can only imagine what fears I would have if they had some sort of a chronic illness such as diabetes, where, you know, especially when kids go away from home, no one's around to watch what's going on. So it's another way of empowering family members and the actual patient to be able to take charge of what their needs are. So it's been a very exciting process, and we're very excited
about it. I think it's wonderful. It's a wonderful program, and it's so easy. I actually want to get one for my father. I have one for myself because I don't know if I've mentioned this to you, Debbie, but there is diabetes in my father's side of the family,
mm-hmm.
and I'm actually quite worried about it for myself. So I got it because I want to monitor my weight as well as my own blood pressure, and I definitely want to get this for my dad because he lives down in Florida. I live here in New York, and he has pretty severe type 2 diabetes. And one of the things that I learned about this program is when I got my kit, it was the easiest thing to set up. It was so simple. The instructions were simple. And I hate to admit this because I run an online website with my husband, but I'm a technophobe when it comes to electronics, and it was very, very quick and easy to set up, and I'm actually very pleased that I can now really be engaged with my own health, you know, in the busy life that I have, and with all the time that I spend online, this is pretty much a quick thing to just go on the My Own Care website and check up on my stats or even my dad's, so it's
I'm so happy to hear that. That's
fantastic.
Really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that peace of mind is really what we were hoping to provide to people. And we are the first company that offers this service directly to consumers who really want to take charge, you know, not direct, not from a home care agency, not from a hospital-based practice, but directly for themselves where they want to know what's going on without having, you know, fears of, oh, does the insurance have to know what's going wrong with my health? And we're hoping that it's a very affordable kind of a program, and we're hoping that people will see the value of it. It's a national company, so we can offer the service to anyone across the country. We have a great website you may want to check out. It's www.myowncare.com, myowncare.com. And you may find that to be useful.
Debbie, I want to thank you so much for being on our show today. You wear so many hats. I'm amazed. You're my inspiration.
Oh, that's nice.
You have, as the president of the Greater New York Professional Geriatric Care Managers, you have a conference coming up in November, correct?
Yes, we do. If anyone would like to join us, we have a conference which is called the Good, the Bad, the Ugly, a forum on care transitions, because this is a major issue that people face is, you know, someone is in a hospital, they need to move on to the next level of care, maybe rehab and to come home. So November 4th at the Lighthouse International on 59th Street in Manhattan, we have our conference. Details can be found on our website, www.nygcm.org. So we would welcome anyone to come.
Well, thank you, Debbie, for being here today. To learn more about Debbie Drelick, you can visit www.newyorkeldercareconsultants.com. And to find a geriatric care manager in your local area, simply visit www.caremanager.org and click on the Find a Care Manager tab. I want to thank our audience for tuning in today. Join us next time on Monday, October 25th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when my husband and co-founder John Mills will interview Howard Gleckman. Howard Gleckman is a long-term care expert and a fellow at the Urban Institute. He is also the author of the book Caring for Our Parents. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, visit www.ecarediary.com. Registration on the site is free and gives you immediate access to your personal care diary tool and our newsletter. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. My Twitter address is eCare Diary Susan. I always love to make new friends on Twitter. Debbie, do you have? Are you on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter? Can people find you
Facebook
there?
I am on Facebook and LinkedIn, but I have not indulged yet in Twitter.
Oh, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You can get addicted fast.
I imagine.
Well, thank you, Debbie, for being on our show.
Pleasure.
Thank you to our audience. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.